Rich is the best thing anybody can be. Seven removes a silver box from the computer and examines it.
It's not even that old.
What are you doing? I ask.
Big D asked me to fix his computer. It needs some new DVD drives. He burnt his out making all them bootlegs.
My brother is the unofficial Garden Heights tech guy. Old ladies, hustlers, and everybody in between pay him to fix their computers and phones. He makes good money like that, too. A black garbage bag leans against the foot of the bunk bed with some clothes sticking out the top of it. Somebody put it over the fence and left it in our front yard. Seven, Sakani, and I found it when we came home from the store. We thought it may have been Devante's, but Seven looked inside and everything in it belonged to him. The stuff he had at his mama's house. He called Aisha. She said she was putting him out. King told her to. Seven, I'm sorry.
It's okay, Star.
But she shouldn't have.
I said it's okay.
He glances up at me.
All right. Don't sweat it.
All right, I say, as my phone vibrates. I hand Devante the laptop and look. Still no response from Kenya. Instead, it's a text from Maya. Are you mad at us?
What's this for?
Devante asks, staring at the laptop. Daddy wants you to have it, but he said let Seven check it out first. I tell him as I reply to Maya. What do you think?
What do you want me to have it for?
Devante asks. Maybe he wants to see if you actually know how to operate one. I tell Devante.
I know how to use a computer, Devante says. He hits Seven, who's snickering.
My phone buzzes 3 times. Maya has responded. Definitely mad. Can the 3 of us talk? Things have been awkward lately. Typical Maya. If Haley and I have any kind of disagreement, she tries to fix it. She has to know this won't be a kumbaya moment. I reply. Okay, we'll let you know when I'm at my uncle's. Gunshots fire at rapid speed in the distance. I flinch.
Goddamn machine guns, Daddy says. Folks acting like this Iran or some shit.
No cussing, Daddy, Sakani says from the den.
Sorry, man. I'll add a dollar to the jar.
2! You said the GD word.
I ate 2. Star, come to the kitchen for a second.
In the kitchen, Mama speaks in her other voice on the phone. Yes, ma'am. We want the same thing. She sees me. And here's my lovely daughter now. Could you hold, please? She covers the receiver. It's the DA. She would like to talk to you this week. Definitely not what I expected. Oh. Yeah, Mama says. Look, baby, if you're not comfortable with it. I am. I glance at Daddy. He nods. I can do it. Oh, she says, looking from me to Daddy and back. Okay. As long as you're sure. I think we should meet with Miss Ofra first, though. Possibly take her up on her offer to represent you.
Definitely, Daddy says. I don't trust them folks at the DA office.
So how about we see her tomorrow and meet with the DA later on this week? Mama asks. I grab another slice of pizza and take a bite. It's cold now, but cold pizza is the best pizza. So 2 days of no school? Oh, you're going to school. She says, and did you eat any salad while you're eating all that pizza? I've had veggies, these little bitty peppers. They don't count when they're that little. Yeah, they do. If babies can count as humans when they're little, veggies can count as veggies when they're little. That logic ain't working with me, so we'll meet with Miss Ofra tomorrow and the DA on Wednesday. Sound like a plan? Yeah. Except the school part. Mama uncovers the phone. Sorry for the delay. We can come in on Wednesday morning.
In the meantime, tell your boys, the mayor, and the police chief to get them fucking tanks out my neighborhood.
Daddy says loudly. Mama swats at him, but he's going down the hall.
Claim folks need to act peaceful, but rolling through here like we in a goddamn war.
$2, Daddy, Sekani says. When Mama hangs up, I say, it wouldn't kill me to miss one day of school. I don't want to be there if they try that protest mess again. I wouldn't be surprised if Remy tried to get a whole week off because of Khalil. I need 2 days, that's all. Mama raises her brows. Okay, 1.5, please. She takes a deep breath and lets it out slowly. We'll see. But not a word of this to your brothers, you hear me? Basically, she said yes, without saying yes outright. I can deal with that. Pastor Eldridge once preached that faith isn't just believing, but taking steps toward that belief. So when my alarm goes off Tuesday morning, by faith, I don't get up, believing that Mama won't make me go to school. And to quote Pastor Eldridge, hallelujah, God shows up and shows out. Mama doesn't make me get up. I stay in bed listening as everybody else gets ready for the day. Sekani makes it his business to tell Mama I'm not up yet. Don't worry about her, she says. Worry about yourself. The TV in the den blares some morning news show, and Mama hums around the house. When Khalil and 115 are mentioned, the volume lowers a whole lot and doesn't go back up until a political story comes on. My phone buzzes under my pillow. I take it out and look. Kenya finally texted me back about my new Tumblr. She would make me wait hours for a response, and her comment is short as hell. It's aight. I roll my eyes. That's about as close as I'm gonna get to a compliment from her. I text back. I love you too. Her response? I know. Smiley face. She's so petty. Part of me wonders, though, if she didn't respond last night because of drama at her house. Daddy said King's still beating Aisha up. Sometimes he hits Kenya in lyric, too. Kenya's not the type to talk about it like that, so I ask, everything okay? The usual, she writes back. Short, but it says enough. There isn't much I can do, so I just remind her, I'm here if you need me. Her response, you better be. See? Petty. Here's the messed up part about missing school. You wonder what you would be doing if you went. At 8, I figure Chris and I would just be getting to history, since it's our first class on Tuesdays. I send him a quick text. Won't be at school today. 2 minutes later, he replies, are you sick? Need me to kiss it and make it better? Wink, wink. He seriously typed wink, wink, instead of 2 wink emojis. I'll admit, I smile. I write back. What if I'm contagious? He says, doesn't matter. I'll kiss you anywhere. Wink, wink. I reply, is that another line? He responds in less than a minute. It's whatever you want it to be. Love you, Fresh Princess. Pause. That L word completely catches me off guard. Like a player from the other team stealing the ball right as you're about to make a layup. It takes all of your momentum, and you spend a week wondering how that steal slipped up on you. Yeah, Chris saying love you is like that, except I can't waste a week wondering about it. By not answering, I'm answering, if that makes sense. The shot clock is winding down, and I need to say something. But what? By not saying I before love you, he's making it more casual. Seriously, Love you and I love you are different. Same team, different players. Love you isn't as forward or aggressive as I love you. Love you can slip up on you, sure, but it doesn't make an in-your-face slam dunk, more like a nice jump shot. 2 minutes pass. I need to say something. Love you too. It's as foreign as a Spanish word I haven't learned yet, but funny enough, it comes pretty easily. I get a wink emoji in return. Just Us for Justice occupies the old Taco Bell on Magnolia Avenue, between the car wash and the cash advance place. Daddy used to take me and Seven to that Taco Bell every Friday and get us 99-cent tacos, cinnamon twists, and a soda to share. This was right after he got out of prison, when he didn't have a lot of money. He usually watched us eat. Sometimes he asked the manager, one of Mama's girlfriends, to keep an eye on us, and he went to the cash advance place next door. When I got older and discovered that presents don't just show up, I realized Daddy always went over there around our birthdays and Christmas. Mama rings the doorbell at Just Us, and Miss Ofra lets us in.
Sorry about that, she says, locking the door. It's just me here today.
Oh, Mama says. Where are your colleagues?
Some of them are at Garden Heights High doing a roundtable discussion. Others are leading a march on Carnation where Khalil was murdered.
It's weird to hear somebody say Khalil was murdered as easily as Miss Ofra does. She doesn't bite her tongue or hesitate. Short-walled cubicles take up most of the restaurant. They have almost as many posters as Seven has, but the kind Daddy would love, like Malcolm X standing next to a window holding a rifle, Huey Newton in prison with his fist up for Black Power, and photographs of the Black Panthers at rallies and giving breakfast to kids. Ms. Ofra leads us to her cubicle next to the drive-thru window. It's kind of funny, too, because she has a Taco Bell cup on her desk.
Thank you so much for coming, she says. I was so happy when you called, Mrs. Carter.
Please call me Lisa. How long have you all been in this space?
Almost 2 years now. And if you're wondering, yes, we do get the occasional prankster who pulls up to the window and tells me they want a chalupa.
We laugh. The doorbell rings up front. That's probably my husband, Mama says. He was on his way. Ms. Ofra leaves, and soon Daddy's voice echoes through the office as he follows her back. He grabs a third chair from another cubicle and sets it halfway in Ms. Ofra's office and halfway in the hall. That's how small her cubicle is.
Sorry I'm late. Had to get Devante situated with Mr. Lewis.
Mr. Lewis? I ask.
Yeah. Since I'm here, I asked him to let Devante help around the shop. Mr. Lewis needs somebody to look out for his dumb behind. Snitching on live TV. You're talking about the gentleman who did the interview about the King Lords?
Miss Ofra asks.
Yeah, him, says Daddy. He owns the barbershop next to my store. Oh, wow. That interview definitely has people talking. Last I checked, it had almost 1 million views online.
I knew it. Mr. Lewis has become a meme.
It takes a lot of guts to be as upfront as he is. I meant what I said at Khalil's funeral, Star. It was very brave of you to talk to the police.
I don't feel brave. With Malcolm X watching me on her wall, I can't lie. I'm not running my mouth on TV like Mr. Lewis.
And that's okay, Ms. Ofra says. It seemed Mr. Lewis impulsively spoke out in anger and frustration. In a case like Khalil's, I would much rather that you spoke out in a more deliberate and planned way. She looks at Mama. You said the DA called yesterday?
Yes. They'd like to meet with Star tomorrow.
Makes sense. The case was turned over to their office, and they're preparing to take it to a grand jury.
What does that mean? I ask.
A jury will decide if charges should be brought against Officer Cruz.
And Star will have to testify to the grand jury, Daddy says.
Miss Ofra nods.
It's a bit different from a normal trial. There won't be a judge or a defense attorney present, and the DA will ask Star questions.
But what if I can't answer them all?
What do you mean?
Miss Ofra says. The gun in the car stuff. On the news, they said there may have been a gun in the car. Like, that changes everything. I honestly don't know if there was.
Miss Ofra opens a folder that's on her desk, takes a piece of paper out, and pushes it toward me. It's a photograph of Khalil's black hairbrush, the one he used in the car.
That's the so-called gun,
Miss Ofra explains. Officer Cruz claims he saw it in the car door, and he assumed Khalil was reaching for it. The handle was thick enough, black enough, for him to assume it was a gun.
And Khalil was black enough,
Daddy adds.
A hairbrush. Khalil died over a fucking hairbrush.
Miss Ofra slips the photograph back in the folder.
It'll be interesting to see how his father addresses it in his interview tonight.
Hold up. Interview? I ask. Mama shifts a little in her chair. The officer's father has a television interview that's airing tonight. I glance from her to Daddy.
And nobody told me?
'Cause it ain't worth talking about, baby,
Daddy says. I look at Ms. Ofra. So his dad can give his son's side to the whole world, and I can't give mine and Khalil's? He's gonna have everybody thinking 115's the victim.
Not necessarily, Ms. Ofra says. Sometimes these kinds of things backfire. And at the end of the day, the court of public opinion has no say in this. The grand jury does. If they see enough evidence, which they should, Officer Cruz will be charged and tried.
If, I repeat. A wave of awkward silence rolls in. 115's father is his voice, but I'm Khalil's. The only way people will know his side of the story is if I speak out. I look out the drive-through window at the car wash next door. Water cascades from a hose, making rainbows against the sunlight like it did 6 years ago, right before bullets took Natasha. I turn to Miss Ofra. When I was 10, I saw my other best friend get murdered in a drive-by. Funny how murdered comes out easily now.
Oh,
Miss Ofra sinks back.
I'm so sorry, Star.
I stare at my fingers and fumble with them. Tears well in my eyes. I've tried to forget it, but I remember everything. The shots. The look on Natasha's face. They never caught the person who did it. I guess it didn't matter enough. But it did matter. She mattered. I look at Miss Ofra, but I can barely see her for all the tears. And I want everyone to know that Khalil mattered too. Miss Ofra blinks a lot.
Absolutely.
She clears her throat.
I would like to represent you, Star. Pro bono, in fact.
Mama nods, and she's teary-eyed too.
I'll do whatever I can to make sure you're heard, Star. Because just like Khalil and Natasha mattered, you matter, and your voice matters. I can start by trying to get you a television interview.
She looks at my parents,
if you're okay with that.
As long as they don't reveal her identity, yeah,
Daddy says.
That shouldn't be a problem, she says. We will absolutely make sure her privacy is protected.
A quiet buzzing comes from Daddy's way. He takes out his phone and answers. The person on the other end shouts something, but I can't make it out.
Hey, calm down, Vante. Say that again,
The response